Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I wanted to start with Tim Tebow, the two-time national champion and Heisman Trophy winner turned college football analyst, was on ESPN this morning discussing California's Fair Pay for Play Act that Governor Newsom is expected to sign into law at some point this month. It would not go into effect until January 1st, 2023, but it's through every legislative body it needs to go through in the state of California. It's merely sitting on the governor's desk now. And given that the vote was literally 111-0 in favor of this bill becoming a law, there's no precedent whatsoever for the governor vetoing it, even though the NCAA has asked him to veto it. Simply put, he's not going to. This will become a law soon, and it will go into effect January 1st, 2023. Now, I've noticed some of you who tweet me are a little confused about what this bill would and would not do. So let me explain in the simplest terms. It's called SB 206 or the Fair Pay for Play Act. And what it would do when it goes into effect January 1st, 2023, is it would not only allow student athletes at California-based institutions under the NCAA umbrella to accept fair market value, in other words, whatever somebody's willing to give them for their name, image, and likeness. If it's $20 to sign an autograph, fine. If it's $2 million to go on a billboard, fine. Not only would this law allow student athletes at California-based institutions under the NCAA umbrella to take whatever they can get in exchange for their name, in exchange for usage of their name, image, or likeness, it would, and this is the point I think some people have missed, also make it illegal for California-based institutions to prevent them from doing it. In other words, right now, as I've explained earlier this week, if this rule, right now, under current NCAA rules and current California law, if the point guard at UCLA took $200,000 from Under Armour to go on a billboard being a commercial, UCLA would immediately step in and say that is an impermissible benefit in violation of NCAA laws. You cannot accept that. And if you do accept it, we're going to have to rule you ineligible. When this law goes into place, UCLA can't do that anymore. There's nothing they can do about it. They would be in violation of California law if they tried to prevent this young man or young woman, by the way, in any sport, yeah, basketball and football, but also volleyball, soccer, golf, whatever. They wouldn't be able to prevent any student athlete from accepting what anybody's willing to give them in exchange for their age, name, image, and likeness. But unless the NCAA adapts its rules, it would still be in violation of NCAA rules. So here's where we've got the issue. In other words, fast forward January 1st, 2023. Let's just play hypothetical. The NCAA hasn't gone this far with its rules, but the law goes into effect. UCLA point guard takes $200,000 to be in a commercial from Under Armour. NCAA says, hey, that's an impermissible benefit in violation of our rules, in violation of amateurism. You've got to rule that player ineligible. UCLA says, we're prohibited by law from doing that. We can't do that. NCAA says, well, then you're going to be playing an ineligible player. It's going to make your team ineligible for the NCAA tournament. And then UCLA is going to say, we understand your rules, but do you understand our laws? We are not in a position legally to do anything about this. And then it's a big lawsuit. Because what California state legislators have already said is that if the NCAA really tries to prevent our athletic programs from competing for championships, which is what the NCAA has threatened, then we will file a massive class action lawsuit and we'll see you in court. So unless there is some compromise somewhere, and it seems pretty clear California lawmakers aren't willing to compromise at all. This is their law. It's going to pass. NCAA, you better meet us over here. The NCAA doesn't seem willing to go that far with it. This is going to be an issue someday. So that's what we're talking about. It's not about UCLA paying players or Memphis paying players. This would not allow an institution to come straight out of its athletic department and pay a player. It would merely allow student athletes to accept anything outside entities are willing to give them in exchange for usage of their name, image, and likeness. So ESPN thought it was a good idea to bring Tim Tebow on First Take this morning. He was asked to discuss it. And if you missed it, here's what Tim Tebow said.
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. Tim, we turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's just not where I feel like college football needs to go.
That's fair,
there's that
man.
Opportunity in the NFL, that's but fair. Not in college football.
So, that was 1 minute, 19 seconds of Tim Tebow being passionate. And when First Take tweeted a link to the clip, which has now gone viral, everybody's talking about this on social media, that is the way they described it. Tim Tebow had a passionate response when asked about the Fair Pay for Play Act in California. And I can acknowledge, clearly passionate. No doubt, sounded passionate. Like, I think he means every word he says, but that doesn't mean any word he said makes any sense whatsoever. As somebody pointed out on Twitter, they didn't give him a scholarship for thinking. He's a football player. And it doesn't mean football players are ill-equipped to make great points about big issues in college athletics. It just means that it doesn't appear Tim Tebow is. So let's go through some of the things he said. Now, I ain't got time to go through every sentence that he said, but just some big things that he said that I feel are the most nonsensical of all of the nonsensical things he said. He opened up right at the top by explaining he had one of the best-selling jerseys in the world, not just in college football, but in the world. LeBron, Kobe, Tim Tebow, Florida jersey. I'll take him at his word. I don't know exactly what the jersey sales looked like when Tim Tebow was in college, but undeniably, Florida sold a whole bunch of Tim Tebow jerseys, and he says he never made a dollar from it. I believe that. He says he didn't want to make a dollar from it, and I'll take him at his word, and that's fine. It's fine for Tim Tebow, but why does he think the idea that he didn't want to make a dollar off his jersey sale should somehow prohibit other people from making a dollar off their jersey sales? Like, if Tim Tebow doesn't want to make money off his name, image, and likeness when he's a college athlete, fine. Nobody would have made him do it. Nobody would have said, no, Tim Tebow, you must take this money. You must cash these checks. But it didn't mean other players wouldn't want to. Maybe other players who didn't grow up the same way Tim Tebow grows up. I don't know his family dynamic exactly, but I don't think he grew up poor. I know a lot of his teammates did. They maybe could have used some money that would go along with jersey sales or autograph sales or other things that this bill in California would allow them to accept in exchange for the name, image, and likeness. So I can respect Tim Tebow for not wanting to benefit from his jersey sales financially, but I don't mean that it ain't right to allow others to do it. It doesn't mean it's wrong to allow others to do it. If Tim Tebow decides he don't want to accept money for talking on television, he could give that back too. If Tim Tebow decides next time he's going to go speak at a church, he don't want to accept that money, he can give that back too. I don't care what Tim Tebow does with his money that he deserves. But Tim Tebow insisting he didn't want the money that most people, including California lawmakers, think he deserved when he was in college, doesn't mean other people should be prohibited from it. He also said that allowing athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness would add a, quote, selfish culture to college athletics. It would add to the already established selfish culture we have in this country. I mean, what does that even mean? Tell me how, Tim Tebow. Wanting fair market value for your talents does not make you selfish. You know what it makes you? Normal. It makes you normal. Wanting to be compensated in whatever way somebody is willing to be compensated for your talents doesn't make you selfish. It makes you normal. That's what normal, talented people do. If you have any sort of talent that other people value, people are going to be willing to compensate you for it. And most people are going to want to be compensated as well as they can possibly be while weighing the pros and cons of other dynamics of any job type job. And it doesn't make you selfish. I don't ever feel selfish looking at my direct deposits from any of the employees I have. I'll get paid to do all sorts of little things in addition to the big things that I do. Hey, could you show up here? We'll give you $1,000 to do this. Could you show up this? We'll give you this one. I don't ever feel selfish. If somebody's willing to pay me to do these things, I'm happy to do them. And I'm happy to take the money. And I don't feel like I don't deserve it. You might think I don't deserve it, and perhaps you got a point. But as long as somebody thinks I deserve it, I'm going to be happy to take it. I got three kids. So the idea that student athletes would want to be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness, the idea that that would add to the, quote, selfish culture, makes no sense whatsoever. Wanting to profit off of your name, image, and likeness, wanting to take advantage of your fair market value, it doesn't make you selfish. It simply makes you normal. He said that, Tim Tebow did, that allowing student athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness would create a system where the recruits go wherever the most money exists. He actually said more than that. He said it'll make it like the NFL, where you just go where the most money is. That's not actually like the NFL. Like, the NFL has a draft. They have all sorts of things where people can't actually just go where the most money is. So his even analogy as he sets it up doesn't quite make sense. But whatever, his central point is that if you allow student-athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, we will create a system where the players just go wherever the most money is. And on this point, he and I actually agree. He's 100% right that by and large, if you allow student athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, they will go to the schools with the best corporate backing and most intense boosters willing to give them the most money. I agree. But what Tim Tebow fails to recognize or acknowledge, or both, is that that's pretty much already the system we have in place. That's pretty much already how college sports work. Trivia time, Connor. Who do you think has the largest football budget in NCAA football?
Probably Texas.
That's a good guess, but it's not true.
Alabama?
Alabama. Alabama has the number one football budget in the country, according to the latest AP database, which isn't perfect because they can't account for every penny here and there, but it is as close to as accurate as we're going to get. Alabama spends in excess of $56 million a year on its football program. Now, they make way more than that, but they spend $56 million. So Tim Tebow's point is, if we allow the schools with the most money to offer compensation in exchange for players' name, image, and likeness, what we're going to do is have a system where the schools that got the most money, that are willing to spend the most money, they're going to get the best players. Now, we just established the school that spends the most money on football is Alabama. Trivia time. Who do you think had the number one recruiting class in the country last year in football?
I'm going to say Alabama.
Ding, ding, ding. So already, the school that spends the most on football gets the best players in the sport of football. It's already how it works. In fact, I went through the top 10. And what you'll find is that every school in the top 10 in football budget in the past year, their most recent recruiting class ranked in the top 19 in the country. Alabama had the biggest budget, number one. They had the number one recruiting class. Florida State actually had the second biggest football budget. They had the 19th ranked recruiting class. But that's actually kind of amazing because they suck at football. But what that proves is they're still willing to spend the money, so they're still going to get the best players. Auburn had the third biggest football budget, 11th best recruiting class. Notre Dame, fourth best recruiting, best football budget, 16th best recruiting class. Georgia, fifth best football budget, second best recruiting class. I could go through it all. Just trust me, the numbers are the numbers. Every single football program that is top 10 in football budget had a top 19 recruiting class. So Tim Tebow is exactly right. The schools that have the most money would get the best players. But that's already the way it works. The only difference between the current system and that system would be that the players on the field who create this revenue would get a cut of the money. Whatever it is, somebody thinks they deserve. So he's right that it would create an imbalance where the schools with the best corporate backing and the most boosters would get the best players. Again, it's already the way it works. It's worked that way for a long, long time. I contend this. You could look at the past 10 recruiting classes, change the rules tomorrow to allow student athletes in all 50 states to accept fair market value in exchange for name, image, and likeness, then look at the next 10 recruiting classes. They would largely look the same. The teams that win the championships would largely be the same. It wouldn't change the order of things in college athletics in any sport much at all. And then finally, Tim Tebow says that amateurism, the idea that student-athletes are not allowed to accept fair market value for name, image, and likeness, that's the reason people are more passionate about college football than they are about the NFL. That's what he says. The reason people are more passionate about college football than they are about the NFL is because student-athletes aren't allowed to be compensated. First off, I'm not even sure if that's true that people are more passionate about college football than the NFL. Like, I guess if you told me make the argument, I could do my best, but I'm not sure it's true. I mean, I watch college football tailgates, videos pop up every weekend, and it's like pretty girls and guys with pretty girls. I watch videos from tailgates in the NFL. People are fighting nonstop. Like, you wear a Redskins jersey to an Eagles game, the Eagles fans want to beat you up, even if you're 6'10". Last night, there's like Carolina Panthers fans in a weather delay just fighting at by a concession stand. They look passionate to me. I mean, dumb also, but passionate. So I'm not even sure that Tim Tebow's right that people are more passionate about college football than they are about the NFL, but whatever. That's beside the point. Why does he think, if people are more, why does he think it's because of amateurism? Prove it. That you can't prove it. It is something people say all the time. I acknowledge that. They say people wouldn't care about college athletics the same way if they knew the players were getting paid. First off, you already know the players are getting paid. It's just under the table and dirty. So, like, shut up. But beyond that, why do you think that? It's always an interesting conversation. People say, I don't think people would care about college athletics the same way. You say, really, why do you think that? They can't give you a good reason ever. There's no answer to the question. It's something people say. There's no evidence to support it. There is evidence to discredit it, though. And it's the Olympics. Because people used to say the same thing about the Olympics. I wouldn't care about the Olympics if the athletes were getting paid. I love Mary Lou Retton, but if Mary Lou Retton was a millionaire, I wouldn't love her the same way. And then the Olympics adapted their rules, and they allowed athletes to do exactly what California lawmakers now want athletes to be able to do, which is accept money in exchange for their name, image, and likeness. And it doesn't mean everybody gets anything, but it means Michael Phelps gets a lot. It means Simone Biles gets a lot. It means Usain Bolt gets a lot. Did it kill the Olympics? I feel like every time Michael Phelps is in a pool, people are fired up. I feel like every time Usain Bolt runs, people are fired up. I feel like every time Simone Biles flips, people are fired up. Didn't hurt the Olympics. Simone Biles is a millionaire. Michael Phelps is a bazillionaire. Nobody cared. It didn't hurt the Olympics. There's no evidence whatsoever that it hurt the Olympics. There's no evidence whatsoever that it would hurt college athletics. You really think you grew up your whole life watching college football on Saturday, and because now the quarterback had a $250,000 deal with Nike, you just couldn't bear to watch? It's stupid. Like, it's such a stupid thing to say. Yeah, people say it all the time. Tim Tebow said it on national television this morning. So I tweeted about it early, and boy, the replies got dumb. Real quick. And I couldn't possibly address all of them, but I do want to address two. One reply came from a guy named Kevin Hardesty. I'm sure he's a decent dude in his own world. But he tweeted the following. He said, paying athletes will create a whole list of problems. Giving kids money will be disruptive to the team aspect as well. First off, another place where people just miss. Not paying athletes or allowing them to be paid is what creates the problems. It creates the black market. It creates the FBI investigation. Allowing student athletes to be compensated according to their fair market value, whatever that is, wouldn't create a bunch of problems. It'd fix a bunch of problems. The problems are there right now. And giving kids money would be disruptive to the team aspect? What? First off, for the millionth time, they're not kids. They're young adults. We talk about them like they're eight. They're young adults. They're largely 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23-year-olds. They're young adults. We let them drive cars. We let them fight in wars. We let them buy cigarettes and beer. They're not kids. And why would players making money be disruptive to the team aspect? Explain that, and then when you're done sounding stupid, explain why it doesn't disrupt the team aspect of the New York Yankees or the LA Clippers or the New England Patriots. And I had somebody try on Twitter. Person said, well, how's it going to go when some people are making a lot and other people aren't making nearly as much or possibly nothing? And I said, it'll go just like when Mike Conley makes $30 million and somebody else makes $300,000? Like, there's nothing unique about the concept. In any place where talent is at the root of the entity, people are compensated in whatever ways that somebody else thinks they're worth, and it ain't always the same. Everybody on the NBA roster don't make the same amount of money. Two guys might work just as hard, show up for work same time every day, work just as hard, sweat just as much. They don't make the same amount of money. LeBron James doesn't make the same paycheck every 2 weeks that the 11th guy on the bench makes in LA. And this is true not just in sports, everywhere. Do you think everybody who works here has the same paycheck? Do you think everybody who talks into this microphone I'm talking into right now makes the same amount of money? They don't. Not everybody here makes what I make to do this. Similarly, do you think everybody at CBS makes the same amount of money? Do you think me and Tony Romo's paychecks look the same? I work just as hard as Tony Romo, maybe harder, long as we're being honest. But guess what? I'm probably, long as we're being honest, not as talented as Tony Romo. Certainly not as good looking, definitely not as valuable. And yet I go to work every day and I'm happy to get what I get, even if it ain't a fraction of what Tony Romo gets. And I know people come here every day and they're happy to get what they get. That's the way the world works. So if anything, what lesson would we be teaching kids? We'd be teaching them a lesson about real life. If you're in a workplace, talent is valued. If you're the most talented person there, you'll make the most money. If you're not, you won't. There's a place for everybody. So that was Kevin Hardesty. Then I got a tweet from Brad. He said, okay, Parrish, I'll play along. If we allow student-athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, which means we allow boosters to basically, you know, give anything they want. If Mark Goodfellow wants to give $400,000 to Musa Cisse to enroll at Memphis, he would, according to the California state law, if it were in effect in all 50 states, be allowed to do that. So somebody says, well, how would we stop that? Like, what if a booster, overzealous, just cares too much guy, wants to give a student athlete $100,000 to come out to his place of business and sign autographs for an hour? How would we stop that? Mike, I'll ask you a question. Why would we want to? Who cares? Who cares? What we've already established is that what that would create is a system where the schools with the most intense boosters, the most money connected to them, would get the best players. We've already established that's what it would do. We've already established that's already the way the world works. So why would you prevent it? And then my larger point would be this. Why are we so offended at the idea of a student athlete being bought by the biggest schools with the most money? And yet we don't even blink when it happens for coaches literally every year. How do we stop a booster from paying $100,000 to get the best prospect to go to his best school? We wouldn't. We don't stop him from buying the coaches. Nobody tried to stop Texas A&M's boosters from buying Jimbo Fisher. Nobody tried to stop Alabama's boosters from buying Nate Oates from Buffalo. Someday, nobody's going to try to stop a Power 5 school with tons of money from buying Mike Norvell away from Memphis. Why do we think it's okay for the biggest boosters to buy the best coaches, but it would be the downfall of college athletics if the biggest boosters bought the best players? Why is it okay here and unimaginable here? You cannot logically explain that away. But if you want to try, I'll give you a chance a little later on this hour.